2021. It only took almost the middle of the month for me to come back. What's going on? Yo, Happy New Year to everybody else. I know it's late as hell. Nobody wants to hear that Happy New Year junk right now. But it is. I know. I have to say Happy New Year. What's going on? How's everybody doing? And welcome to Conspiracy Fears and Mysteries 2021. So we're going to continue what we do here, continue what I do here. And that is conspiracy fears and mysteries and giving you true crimes and conspiracies and aliens and ghosts and cryptids, which I have not even talked about any cryptids yet. I've noticed that of all the episodes I've done, I haven't done any cryptids. It was a crazy 2020. Now it's a crazy 2021. I'm not going to lie. It didn't start off quiet or night or anything. You know, I'm just going to go about my business, man. Everybody do their thing. I'm trying not to focus so much on politics because I really don't. This whole political thing is just so out of whack, man. And people are like, what the hell's going on? Everybody thinks they're right and everybody's wrong. So I think we're all wrong. I don't know. Whatever, man. It's dumb corona thing, which I feel like is dying down. Like, they're not talking about it too. Like, I don't know if it's the, you know, the media or whatever, the politics is overshadowing the corona stuff for some reason, I think. And it's, even though they have to do, you know, something that has to do with that too, but it's like nothing, man. It's like whatever, man. But anyway, man, let's go ahead and get started. Yeah. I don't know why I did that. Sorry about that. Let's go ahead and get started with the podcast, man, because with the story that we're going to do today, and I'm going to kick 2021 off with the story of Kelsey Smith. Some of you may have or may not have heard it. This was already solved. But it was, I saw this story on a show called, I think it was No Eyewitness or something. I just got the Discovery Channel app, Discovery Plus, and I don't know why I didn't have that before. That was really dumb of me. But it's a great app, especially if you like, they have a whole, so, you know, the Discovery Channel has Investigation Discovery, which is like all true crime and all that stuff. So, sorry, I'm adjusting the mic over here. Give me 1 second. All right, so mic is adjusted. I'm back. And, I had the mic so far from my mouth. So let's go ahead and talk about Kelsey Smith, man. And Kelsey Smith, like I said, you might be familiar with her, with the case, or you might not. There's so many cases, man. Just when I think that I've gone through them all, there's always, Jesus, man, I wish there wasn't. I've said this before in other episodes. I wish there wasn't so many. But so the story of Kelsey Smith, and I'm getting this from patch.com /Michigan/Plymouth. And also I saw an episode that got me to look her up and, you know, look up things on her. But this article pretty much summarized it, what her case was about, and her case, the case of Kelsey Smith, which, if you watch the show on Discovery that I told you about, because I actually just got, Discovery Channel. The Discovery app. If you watch it on See No Evil on Investigation Discovery, which is it's a true crime show, but it shows how crimes were solved using cameras. It was, and her case was technically solved almost all, well, according to the show. I know there was more put into it, but it was solved by all the footage that they had from the different cameras, especially the camera at Target. So one thing I got to say is it blows my mind how, and I'm going to talk about this when I talk about, other things other than true crime. It blows my mind how we have so clear pictures of outer space stuff and things like that. But when we need a CCTV footage, it's all grainy and choppy, and we can't make the face out because, it's only feet away, but you know, we can get a clear picture of Venus, you know what I mean? And freaking Jupiter and the moons of Jupiter, and we can see the ice on and all that, man. I'm like, wow, that's crazy. But anyway, so the story with Kelsey Smith. So Kelsey Smith was born on May 3rd, 1989, and she was the third of what would eventually be five children. She was born to her parents, Greg and Missy Smith, and from the beginning, Kelsey's parents knew that she was going to be a handful. When she was a toddler, she received a shirt that said, "My name is Nono." I guess she said that a lot, or whatever. She said Nono a lot. So, Kelsey Smith also was a kind child from the beginning. Her parents saw that she was a very nice child from the beginning. And then when she was young and her parents took her somewhere, she would not allow them to buy them any candy or anything unless they bought treats for her sisters. Her brother Zach was born when she was six, and she was so protective of him that she wouldn't even allow anyone to take care of him unless she was around. So I'm laughing because my kids are like that. They'll fight with each other, but like my older son will protect his little brother and his big brothers too, and their older brothers protect the smaller ones. So their kids are just nuts. So she was basically a normal child growing up in the Midwest, and throughout her life she was very inquisitive, and she questioned everything, and she was never afraid to try something new. And at Shawnee Mission West, where she attended high school, this was the case. She became involved in a whole bunch of activities such as track and theater and writer sharp art and choir, but her main passion though was the marching band. So following her passion, she chose to attend Kansas State University, knowing that they have a strong marching band program. So she was supposed to go to Kansas State University. She was still in high school, obviously, and that's where she was slated to go. So she was going places. She was like the kind of the poster child of, a good child. And I'm sure she had her issues, but not anything that would make her parents say, "Oh, she was this," but especially after somebody passes away, you're not really gonna remember anything bad about them unless they were just a horrible person. But she seems like she was never in her life, the years that she lived, that she was horrible. So she was just a normal teen in the Midwest, and she was a great student. She was very focused on her future. She had a good sense of humor, and she had a huge heart. And some of the stories that her parents shared were funny about her, and it opened a window into her life. And you can see this in the show, and I mean, sorry, in the episode of See No Evil. It's actually the first episode of that show. It's called We See You, Kelsey, Season 1, Episode 1. We See You, Kelsey, and it's a very good episode. So her kindness showed as she grew up and went into high school, as many of her friends would share their stories of her surprising them with balloons and bouquets of flowers for their birthdays. And Kelsey's talent for the arts wasn't limited to theater, also choir and band. She was also a very talented artist. And one thing she did amazing, that was amazing and heartwarming, was that when a family member lost a dog to death, she would draw pictures of their pets and give them to the family members who had lost their dog. And those pictures that she drew are actually mean so much more to the family members today, obviously, for obvious reasons. So those pictures mean a lot to them. And it seems like she's one of those people that was very thoughtful of things. I'm not that thoughtful. I'm that. Oh, it was your birthday last week, man. Happy birthday, by the way. You know, I'm that guy. Like, I will forget. Not that, but I don't know. I'm just not that thoughtful. I'm bad at giving gifts too. You know, I'm horrible. Yeah, unless it's something really expensive, I'm horrible at it. So like, there's people that know how to give gifts. I'm sorry to cut this off, but there's people that know how to give gifts. There's people that just, they can go buy something at the 99-cent store, at the thrift shop, and it'll be the most thoughtful thing that you ever got. My wife's one of those people. She knows how to give gifts. She knows how to buy me clothes. She knows what I like. She knows what I don't like. She doesn't get what I don't. It's, I mean, it's insane. But anyway, Kelsey Smith was a funny and caring, talented young lady. Growing up in Kansas, she's described as one of the people who make a difference in someone's life. And she was not unlike many kids growing up in America. Perhaps she reminded you of your own child. That's what kind of kid she was. She was a wonderful teen, blooming young lady with a promising future. She actually died just days after she graduated from Shawnee Mission West High School. And she was murdered. She was abducted in a Target parking lot in Overland, Kansas on June 2nd, 2007. She was last seen on surveillance video purchasing a gift for her boyfriend to celebrate 6 months of being together. And outdoor surveillance footage showed her being abducted and being forced into her car. Her car was found abandoned approximately 2 hours later in the mall parking lot across the street. And upon searching video surveillance, police noticed a suspicious 70s-era pickup truck that had been parked in that same lot. Now, let me tell you something about this part right here. They emphasize this a lot. In the episode on See No Evil, you see where the police went to the car when they found it. You know, they called because she hadn't been home. So her parents were calling. You know, they're like, hey, where's Kelsey at? She's not home yet. She hasn't been home. What's going on? So they actually focused a lot in the park line, you know, and they were trying to figure out, okay, what's going on? This is weird. A car's parked. And then there was like a shirt or something hanging out of the back of the car. And when they opened up the trunk, you know, the father was there. Not coincidentally, but her father was a cop also. So that's even more like, you know, whatever. But they found some items thrown in the back. Her body wasn't there. When they opened the trunk, they thought her body was going to be there. But it, you know, it wasn't. So, I don't know if I can say thank God it wasn't there. But, you know, at the moment, it's like I wanted to be there, but I don't want it to be there. You know what I mean? So just items. And then that's when the police realized, oh my God, there's cameras everywhere here, you know. And it was at the Target. So they went and they asked Target for all the video footage from the inside and outside. And it took a couple of days, and there was a lot of people calling because, you know, they did a press conference and all that stuff. Obviously, the parents were questioned on this also, because when things like this happen, the first people you want to question are the people closest to it. So in a case like this, where she wasn't married or anything, she lived with her parents, obviously, they're going to question the parents first. And for example, in a case where she would have been married, the first initial suspect always is the husband or the wife, you know, depending on who the victim is. So they questioned them, and they ended up getting all the footage, and they studied the heck out of the footage, and you can see the footage on the show. If you watch the show, an Investigation Discovery, See No Evil. So the search for her picked up steam almost immediately, and those searching became known as Kelsey's Army. I think I remember hearing this, but I didn't remember. I don't think I heard exactly what the case was about. Well, anyway, almost immediately, authorities contacted her cell phone company. She had Verizon, and they wanted them to pinpoint her location by checking where her cell phone pings went to. Now, all cell phone companies have the technology to do this, so every cell phone company can ping the signals. Now, if you don't know what a ping is, it's just that. It's just like, it's when the signal bounces. So when it's called a ping, and I learned this in the military when I went to commo school, communication school. We had to learn about signals and all that stuff because I was part of a signal brigade. When it pings, it's just like that. Picture a ping pong ball. When it pings, ping is called ping pong because of the sound. So it's called a ping. It bounces off of the towers or off of the, you know, the satellites or the antennas. So wherever that cell phone is going, it has to ping off of another tower. It has to go, it goes, you know, like it bounces, bang, bing, bing, bing. So they call it ping, even though I said bing. But anyway. So, under federal law, they're allowed to provide location information to authorities without a warrant in an emergency, such as an abduction or a missing persons case, because this became an abduction case when they saw the video. And if you watch, again, the show, you see how long it took them to figure out that it was an abduction just because they saw one part of the video. And you know, the videos, I don't know why CCTV is so grainy. Not grainy, it's so pixelated and grainy. Like, they're recording in like 120p. I don't know. And it's like $1 million cameras. I don't understand. They should have like Hubble telescope type cameras where you could see like nose hairs from a mile away. You know what I mean? Anyway, the problem was with that is that while they are allowed to do this, they are not necessarily forced to provide this information to authorities. So in Kelsey's case, Verizon did not have a current policy on such a thing. And it ultimately took 4 days before they provided the police and the FBI with information. I don't understand. That's crazy. You imagine if it's your loved one and you go to, for example, T-Mobile, like I am, and you're like, hey, you know, well, not me, but the police go, and hey, I need, you know, this, and they're like, oh, well, you know, okay, look, this person's missing, we need it now, time is of the essence, you know, and I'll be so mad, man. Anyway, they ended up telling authorities to search an area exactly 1.1 miles north of a particular cell phone tower, and it took all of 45 minutes from the time authorities received the information to find her body in a wooded area by a lake. So on June 6th, after 4 days of trying to get to the cell phone records, and 9 days after she graduated, Kelsey was found. Forensic evidence reports revealed that Kelsey had been sexually assaulted and then strangled to death. Her body was found at 1:30 p.m. and the animal that did this to her was arrested that evening. It was all due to a fingerprint. I mean, this guy was, man, I don't even know what to call this dude, man. It pissed me off. All the cases pissed me off of all the victims. You know, when they're innocent, and 99% of them are, there's one where it's like, oh, they killed the killer. But so it's kind of hard to feel bad for them. But still, you know, somebody lost their life. But this case is just a complete, like, I mean, a good human being was taken out by somebody who just decided one day, you know what, I'm just gonna be the fucking shithead. You know what I mean? But anyway, the man that raped and murdered Kelsey Smith is Edwin Roy Hall. He was 26 at the time of his arrest and lived in Olathe, Kansas. I hope I'm saying that right. He was married at the time and had a 4-year-old son. He had no criminal record as an adult, but had an assault conviction as a juvenile. On June 7, 2007, Edwin Roy Hall was charged with premeditated first-degree murder and aggravated kidnapping. Eventually, on August 1st, Hall was indicted by a Johnson County grand jury for murder, rape, and aggravated sodomy, making him eligible for the death penalty. But on July 23rd, 2008, Edwin Roy Hall pleaded guilty on all counts against him in a plea agreement, and on September 16, 2008, Johnson County District Judge Peter V. Ruddick sentenced Edwin Roy Hall to life in prison with no possibility of parole. Edwin Hall is currently incarcerated in the Hutchinson, Kansas Correctional Facility. When they went to get him, right, he was with his wife and with his family, whatever, and they were packing his truck. And that's how they found out. They found him because what they were doing, what the police did was they were looking at the CCTV footage, right? And they were looking at her shop because everything looked normal. Everything was normal. When you looked at it at first, if you just looked at it once, you're like, well, the whole thing seemed normal from the time she went into the store to what she was looking to find what she was looking for to what she checked out and paid for it. When she walked out the front door, walked to her car normally by herself, got into her car, and then just left. Everything was normal. But you'd have to really sit there, and they sat there and broke down every step she took. And then what they did was they were looking for something that just stood out. That's when they noticed a dude in a white shirt, shorts, and sneakers. A white dude with a crew cut or something. And they noticed him in one aisle. And then one of the cops was like, he looks like he's trolling, which is what they call trolling. Kind of the same thing on the internet. But they were trolling, meaning he wasn't really shopping. He was just going around. And he was staring at her. So when she would go to one aisle, he'd like go the other way, but end up in the same aisle. Go the other way and end up in the same aisle. What he did was what they noticed on the tape, because they're like, let's follow this guy and see what he does. What they did was he leaves before her, so he waits for her in the parking lot. And it's daytime. He waits for her in the parking lot, and his car is parked kind of near her, but like catty corner to her, I guess. His car was out of the camera that saw her leaving, but they saw it in like another camera. And when she goes to her car, which is why she walked out normally, because she wasn't thinking anybody was following her. Then you see him on the corner of the camera. You see him run up to her, like he ran fast. Boom! It was so fast as she was getting into her car, and he had pulled a gun on her, and he basically kidnapped her in her own car, which is why he had to drive back her car and leave it in the same parking lot later on that night, you know. And that's another thing what led them to it, because they're like, okay, we have the CCTV footage of her car, and they see somebody getting out, but it was real grainy because of the distance of where the car was. Obviously it was all pixelated when they zoomed in. They see somebody get out and run to somewhere else, and then it was kind of out of camera, so they took the time that he got there and then went back to the time when she was shopping. So the incident was from the time she was shopping and she got in that car to the time her car was found. So they're looking for any clues between the time she was shopping and obviously when the car was parked. That's when they noticed the guy wearing the same thing that was inside, that was following her around, which was Edwin Roy Hall. And they were able to put together, and it's real crazy when you see it. Because I saw the footage, and she runs through, like, not she, but he runs, like, in the corner. You see, it was so fast. It was like, just like a flash of like a, he runs to her, but you can't see him with her because he was on the camera angle was on the side of the passenger, like on the left back passenger. Right rear, the passenger side. So you were looking at the side of the car, the passenger side of the car. You couldn't see, and it was a big car. It was an older car, but it was big. I don't know if it was like a Buick or something. And so she was on the other side. On the driver's side, but he ran up on her. So you didn't see when he told her to get in. You know, he basically was like, get in the car, get in the car, don't move. So she got in the car scared. He kidnapped her, and he probably got in. He got in the back seat with a gun pointed at her, and he said, drive. But then that's when you could tell, because if you just watch it normally and you're not looking for a suspect, you just see her shopping normally, she's not scared or anything. She goes in her car and she backs up and goes. But then that's when you see that when she backs up, she stops, like if she hit the brakes hard, and then she keeps backing up and drives away. That was that hesitation from being scared. And you notice, and you can see how that would happen. If like if somebody has a gun to you, you're gonna you're not gonna do things normally. You're gonna be shaking. You're gonna, especially a young girl like that. You know what I mean? I mean anybody, but especially an 18-year-old. You know, 18-year-old girl there. You know, she's, you know, probably never. You know, I'm sure she's never had a gun to her. I mean, her dad's a cop. I'm sure she's always felt safe, and kids should feel safe with their parents. You know, this thing shouldn't happen, but unfortunately, they do. So, I'm sorry. On September 16, 2008, Johnson County Judge, like I said, Peter V. Ruddick, sentenced Edwin Roy Hall to life in prison with no possibility of parole. And Edwin Hall is currently incarcerated in the Hutchinson, Kansas Correctional Facility. And I'm sure he's not having a good time because he's in there for rape. And they know. And this show's been out. His face has been out. And they do that on purpose. Unfortunately, I don't know if I'm the only one that noticed, but, I'm 40. I'm in my 40s, man. I'm going to be 41. And back in the day, in the 90s and stuff, 90s, early 2000, 90s, 2000, when you saw the news, you saw actual news reports. It wasn't just politics all day. The whole news is politics the whole day. You know what I mean? And you saw news like this. It was they would talk about it, and you know, they'd get reports and they'd keep you updated, and you were able to stay current with stuff. But now it's like whatever. Now you got to watch Investigation Discovery to get the news. Oh, you know, this kind of news, so you could know what's, you know. Oh my God. So at Kelsey's memorial, her father Greg Smith shared that Kelsey could walk into a room full of strangers and come out with a room full of friends. Now, instead of just fading away, Kelsey's army moved forward and transformed into the Kelsey Smith Foundation, which you can look up now. Greg and Missy Smith wanted something good to come out of her daughter's death. They wanted to change things in order to maybe save someone else in the future. So the Kelsey Smith Act provides law enforcement with a way to quickly ascertain the location of a wireless telecommunication device if a person has been determined by law enforcement to be at risk of death or serious physical harm due to being kidnapped and or missing, which is the situation they were in. And unfortunately for these things, these legislative things to happen, something bad has to happen. You know, they're not just going to do it. You know, hey, we want to be able to get, no, we're not going to do that. Oh, this person died, okay, maybe we should do it. You know, unfortunately, that's how it is. So the Kelsey Smith Act, named in memory of Kelsey, was signed into law on April 17, 2009. By then, by the governor, Kathleen Sebelius, and the act was proposed by Greg and Missy Smith. Kansas State Representative Rob Olson sponsored the legislation and worked with Kelsey's parents to get it passed. So Greg, about her father, Greg Smith, after serving in the United States Navy for 10 years and as a law enforcement officer for 17 years, ran for and won a seat in the Kansas State Legislature. He has sponsored and co-sponsored several laws aimed at protecting children. And he stated nothing that he can do will bring back Kelsey, will bring Kelsey back. But what I can do is use that event as the as an impetus to make a difference in the lives of other children and his grandchildren, the lives of members in his community. And Greg and Missy Smith traveled the country to speak about keeping children safe and the Kelsey Smith Act. Now, since Kansas adopted this Kelsey Smith Act. Nebraska, Minnesota, New Hampshire, North Dakota, Missouri, Hawaii, Tennessee, and Utah have also adopted the Kelsey Smith Act. I don't know why other, it should be something that's like nationwide. Like it's not, it's, I don't understand why it takes all this legwork to get something this important. Well, we've seen the politics, but anyway, and it's not getting any better, folks. I'm going to tell you right now. But anyway, the Kelsey Smith Act is simple. It seeks to mandate that cell phone providers provide location information to law enforcement in such emergencies. Unfortunately, well, text messages are still protected. Phone calls made and received are still protected under privacy laws. All the Kelsey Smith Act mandates is that the location of the cell phone be given, and only in emergencies where life is at stake or physical harm could be done. And I spoke on, well, it says here the writer of the article where I was getting information from spoke to the phone with Kelsey's father, Greg, and he said two stories. He told him two stories. He told him that one instance in Tennessee, 1 month after the Kelsey Smith that was enacted, a six-year-old boy had disappeared. Authorities acted quickly and immediately became strongly suspicious of a convicted sex offender in the area. They were able to track his cell phone down and rescue this child before the man could molest him. And this man has been convicted in the past of molesting like 10 children. And thanks to the Kelsey Smith Act, this young boy did not have to go through life, you know, with this, with that, or with, you know, a molestation in his head, that, you know, a horrible past. And there's another case where a man had a stroke and he was able to dial his home phone number, but couldn't speak to give his location. So police were able to quickly locate him using location information from his cell phone provider, and another life was saved. I just heard about a guy who saved, whose life was saved in a similar situation, had a heart attack, but I think he had an Apple Watch. He had like a, I don't know, he had an Apple Watch. And he called 911, but he wasn't able to say anything. He was, you know, he had a stroke or something like that, a heart attack or something. And, you know, he called 911. They were like, hey, man, we can't get this guy. So they pinged, or they got the location information from the thing and from the cell phone provider real quick. I guess it's fast. They got it fast and within minutes, and somebody was there to save him, and his life was saved. So, and that's only, you know, two stories shared by his father. But, you know, there's a lot more things that go on. That this is a very good law, the Kelsey Smith Act. Now, in most abduction cases, there's a very limited window of time, like between the abduction and the harm that could be done or that is done. So law enforcement needs to be able to quickly get the information to the location of the victim or the suspect, you know, whoever it is. And it says here, according to John Ryan, who is the chief executive officer of the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, time is of the essence when a child is missing. The first 3 hours are critical to recovering a child alive. And, you know, it's just very, very important. As someone who has spent a few days researching this, I wholeheartedly agree. I know one thing for sure. I know that the Kelsey Smith Act has received bipartisan support wherever it has been passed. And I don't see why. I mean, who would object to this? Who would object? This isn't something anybody would object to, man. I know it says here, let me see. What was it that I wanted to see? The last thing that Kelsey's father said to the writer is that if there is a legislator willing to sponsor the Kelsey Smith Act, he would be willing to fly to Michigan and speak about this legislation and answer any questions Michigan lawmakers may have. I guess in Michigan they had an issue. I don't know, man. Michigan. Anyway, Kelsey Smith was just a normal teen growing up and in the Midwest, and she was from Kansas, but she could have been from Michigan. You know, that's what sort of thoughts. She could be from anywhere. It doesn't matter where she's from. You know what I mean? She'd be from another country, but you know, but you know, unfortunately, to pass the act, it has to be something here. But still, things like this happen. People, you know, stay vigilant, stay alert, stay alive, like we've seen in the military. You know what I mean? Something we say all the time. But welcome to 2021, man. I'm saying this is not the best welcome. Telling you a story about a person who got murdered, but welcome to 2021, guys. And as always, I'm not going to change a thing. 2021, let's just keep it going. Keep your heads up. Doesn't matter who you voted for. Stop making fun of the other person, regardless of what side you're on. Because people are fighting. Let me tell you something. This is called conspiracy fears and mysteries. It's not a freaking conspiracy. There's no conspiracy going on when it comes to these politics. Whatever you see is exactly what's happening. Whatever you hear is happening. Trust me, these politicians don't care about you. I don't care what side you're on, left or right. They don't care. It's called divide and conquer, folks. Divide and conquer. If we're divided, we are weak. They create the left and right, and they tell us that the other side, whatever side you're on, is going to tell you that the other side is bad. Oh, look how bad they are. And vice versa. On the other side, they're going to say the same thing. Oh, look what the other side is doing. Keeps us right here in our level fighting and bickering and calling each other names. Oh, this and that. When we're not looking at the real picture, while they do all the dirt and they take money instead of giving us, you know, things we need and making it impossible for us to work and make our money and have our future, make our future and, you know, business, whatever it is you want to do, they make it harder for you. You know what I mean? So you keep depending on them. And that's the way the cookie crumbles, guys. Anyway, that's all I got for y'all. Don't forget to like, subscribe, follow me on social media. You know, it's my social media, Instagram, CFM, podcast. I don't have a Twitter anymore. I never used the thing anyway. I only have Instagram, actually. I have Instagram, I have Signal, but I use that. I only have, yeah, just follow me on Instagram, man. I keep saying social media, but c.f.mysteries at Instagram, right? c.f.mysteries or Mystery Crime Cigar on Instagram. And I'll see you on the next smoke.